This is your coach, Jim Armstrong, and welcome to the 60-Day Rapid Launch Program, and this is day two of the orientation module, and we're going to be talking about the principles of emotional direct response marketing. We are going to do this virtually the same format as yesterday. I'm going to spend a few minutes going over some general principles. And then we're going to have Bruce come on the line with us, and we're going to be spending a lot of time on guarantees and warranties and using those as a unique selling proposition. And I do have Bruce on the line with us today, and in a little bit he's going to be giving us his input on that topic. And Bruce, you've offered the ironclad replacement guarantees to your clients, and like many floor dealers, you were pretty nervous about doing that at first.
Pretty nervous is not the correct description. We were scared to death. And it was something that that we had not experienced before. It was a concept that we didn't even hear about before. And being a small to mid-sized dealer, it just scared us to death. But we found out it was one of the greatest selling tools that we had.
Yeah, and you and I have talked about this at great length. And I think that by the end of today's call, we're going to give the folks who are listening a good comfort level with that and some ways to make it work in their unique situation. So I'm really looking forward to that, and I know some of the people listening are as well. Well, let's go ahead and dig into the marketing principles. And what I want to start with first is why my marketing looks different. Earl Nightingale said that the crowd is always wrong. And the strategies aren't built around looking slick, corporate, or impersonal. We go in the opposite direction, personal, not slick. And just as an aside, if you have slick-looking marketing, four-color stuff, and all those sorts of things that are using, well, keep using it. I'm not suggesting necessarily that you stop, but you'll also learn to put direct response mechanisms into all your marketing. So if you've got something that's producing, you're going to learn strategies to make it produce even better. Now, the average person sees 10,000 advertising messages a day. I mean, from billboards to radio, television, the logo on your Pepsi can, we're surrounded by it. And the human mind simply can't absorb this much information. So everybody has their advertising filters on. Our job as marketers is to get past that filter. And slick four-color brochures and ads don't do it. And the reason it doesn't is because they see it all the time. It's around them. We're all surrounded by it. Your prospects are. Now, imagine driving through your town. You leave your house in the morning to head to work. You drive through town, and you're surrounded on all sides by business signs that are very professional, bright, flashing, you know, on all the storefronts. How many times have you driven to your business and not even remembered the drive? You don't remember even seeing any of the signs. Well, that's because your advertising filter is up. They're not even registering in your mind. Now, how many times have you, same kind of day, you're driving through town, driving through a neighborhood, and something catches your eye, and you turn and you look, and there nailed up to a telephone pole is a piece of cardboard, handwritten, about a garage sale with a big ugly arrow pointing down the street. That garage sale sign, ugly, non-professional, nailed to a telephone pole, has done what all the other super expensive, flashing professional signs failed to do, and it was get past your advertising filter. You know, having logos, being fancy, looking slick, and looking corporate, on the priority scale, these are a distant second to getting past your prospect's advertising filter and getting them to call you or visit your store. Traditional advertising versus emotional direct response marketing, and there's two broad categories of marketing. And one is the image advertising, the other is emotional direct response marketing. And image advertising, typically a business owner tries to get their name out there. I mean, how many times have you heard or even said the phrase, wow, we've got to get our name out there? Everybody said it. Dan Kennedy gives a great example of this, uses the Goodyear blimp analogy. Goodyear flies their blimp over football stadiums over and over and over again, hoping that if enough people see that Goodyear logo enough times, that when they go in to finally buy tires, that they'll pick Goodyear versus some other brand. Now, Goodyear doesn't have any illusions that at halftime, because of that blimp's up there, that everyone's going to jump up and leave the stadium and go buy Goodyear tires. They're not trying to accomplish that. No, there's several serious drawbacks with this kind of advertising for you know, small to medium-sized businesses. First of all, it's difficult or impossible to track. You have no idea what's working and what's not. It offers no compelling reason for someone to call you versus each of your competitors. It can take a very long time to see results, and it's very expensive. And giant corporations can afford to do this, but you as a small business owner can't. You have to make every advertising dollar count. And it's important to keep in mind that what the giant corporations are attempting to accomplish is a completely different goal than you as a small business owner. They're trying to generate market shifts over calendar quarters. They're trying to appeal to their stockholders, okay? There's a lot of factors going on that don't really necessarily have anything to do with them selling a tire. Yet, because small business owners, floor dealers, aren't really sure what to do, they look at what the big boys do and try and copy them, and it's a suicide mission. You're just going to be too much of the time, you're going to just be throwing your money away, diluting your marketing efforts. So we want to get away from that. You know, when you run your ads over and over again, you complain to your Yellow Page or newspaper ad rep that, you know, the useless ad you're running isn't working. I mean, how many times have you heard them say things like, give it more time, run it again, make it bigger, add color? Okay, it's just part of their playbook. And the thing to keep in mind is if you run an ad and nobody calls, what's going to happen when you run the ad 20 more times? Nobody's going to call 20 more times. Now, this is the opposite of what ad salesmen say. But keep in mind that ad salesmen, they're not marketers. They're salespeople whose number one goal is to sell you advertising media. That's it. It's not to make you money. They don't care if it makes you money. It doesn't matter. As long as they can keep getting you to buy ads and keep feeding you this line, just to run it more and make it bigger, well, then they're going to get their commission and they're going to do fine. Now, remember, we said this yesterday. One definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again and expecting different results. Now, emotional direct response marketing is what I use. It's what I teach. It's been my bread and butter for over a decade. It gives potential clients compelling reasons to choose you versus your competitors, compels them to take action right now. And it's tough-minded, results-driven marketing so that you really have the potential to put an ad out on Monday and be making money or getting response by Friday. It is also, you're able to track it and hold it accountable for its results. I can't tell you how many business owners I've talked to, you know, well, how much revenue exactly does your Yellow Page ad generate? Or how much are you making off that radio ad? And they really don't know. And we want to make that situation not happen with you folks. I recommend that you go on a strict direct marketing diet for 6 months while you're learning this system. Stop any marketing that cannot be held accountable for its results. In other words, it can't be tracked. Now, I think Yellow Pages and newspaper ads can be very effective. But what winds up, so don't take that the wrong way. There's ways to advertise in those medias and do well. But what winds up happening is what people put in the paper and what they put in the Yellow Pages just kind of winds up being a blown-up business card. And that's not what I'm talking about. I don't recommend that you do that. And later on, we'll get into specific strategies for Yellow Page and newspaper. Now, you probably also noticed that my system is very letter-driven, and there's several advantages to that. First of all, it looks totally different than your competitors' marketing. Remember what Earl Nightingale said, the crowd is always wrong, and look at what everyone else is doing and do something different. It's very personal. It looks like you wrote them a personal letter. And people don't want to do business with a corporation or a business. people want to do business with people. And as we all know, flooring is a relationship business. Think about how many of your clients and prospects who've had to deal every day with faceless, non-caring corporations. They've been put on, you know, served time and on hold and the purgatory of phone menus and all that kind of stuff that goes on. By being personal, you're going to stand apart and create welcome relief in their lives. Also, another benefit is changes are very, very easy to make. You know, full-color brochures and ads can take weeks or months to roll out. With letters, you can literally get an idea on Monday and have the campaign out by Wednesday or Thursday once you get good at it. And I've many times said, you know what, I need to put a campaign in the pipes on Monday, and by Wednesday it's literally hitting the mailboxes. It makes changes easy. If you do a 5,000 brochure run, okay, and you decide 3 weeks into it, you discover that the marketing message in there, you decide to change it, or it doesn't fit anymore, or what have you, well, now you're stuck with 4,998 brochures that don't apply anymore. So letters really make it easy to avoid that situation. You print as many as you need at one time, and that's it. Another concept I want to talk about is the more you tell, the more you sell. You've probably already noticed if you've gone through the manuals that my sales letters are, some of them are several pages long. And I can't tell you how many times I've heard, wow, people will never read that many words. People won't read that much. And this is a story going back, you know, 10 years plus. I remember going to the printer with my first long form sales letter. And this was back in my, when I owned a carpet cleaning company. And I went in and I had a 3-page letter, all type, no pictures, to promote carpet cleaning. And the printer said to me, wow, I mean, very tactfully tried to say, you know, that's an awful lot of words. You know, I'm not sure people are going to read that, and tried to discourage me from doing it. And fortunately, I knew a thing or two about marketing, and I ignored that person's advice and went on to make tens of thousands of dollars with that letter. Most, and to this day, I use long-form letters. Everybody that's on this call today joined Jim Armstrong Marketing Systems because you got a 26-page sales letter with no pictures in it. So you're proof positive that it works. And we're going to get into why that works in just a minute here. Now, most ad agencies and salespeople, like I said, are going to tell you to use as few words as possible. Leave lots of open space, buy the biggest ad you can afford, use lots of color, and put your logo at the top. Well, these kind of ads, they look slick, they look professional, they just don't work very well for the small to medium business owner who's trying to get immediate response. And I want to say a few words about logos. Everyone's favorite radio station is WIIFM. What's in it for me? And all your clients and prospects care about is benefits to them. They don't care about anything else. And what I'm going to say next, I hope it doesn't hurt your feelings, but it could, but it's absolutely true, and it's important that you hear it. Nobody cares about your logo except you. Your logo does not convey benefits. But business owners plaster their logo and their business name at the top of all their marketing. It's the first thing people see, and it's the absolute worst place to put your name and logo, especially when you're marketing to people who have never heard of you. And why is that? Because they have no relationship with you. Your business name and logo don't mean anything to them. So business owners who do this are trying to copy the branding and image-building tactics of Goodyear, Pepsi-Cola, IBM, Microsoft, McDonald's, and other giant corporations. Now, there's a time and a place for logos, and you're going to learn where to use them, but don't put them into any of the sales letters that you've got right now. Now, as an aside, everybody that's on this call got my marketing letters when you joined the Inner Circle Club. You did not see my logo on any of them. When did you see my logo? After you joined, when you got the manuals sitting right in front of you, now you've got the logo. And that should be a clue as to when logos are appropriate and when you should be using them. So I do practice what I preach. I put my ego aside, and I left my logo off of the marketing materials, and I do it with everything in and every business. So I do practice what I preach. Now, keep in mind, your letters are salesmanship in print. Imagine sitting face-to-face with a client and only limiting yourself to 50 words. Doesn't matter if they have questions. Doesn't matter if they're ready to buy. Once you get to 50 words, you got to stop talking. It's ludicrous. You would never send a salesperson out and put that kind of a limitation on them, yet we do it all the time, or dealers do it all the time with their marketing pieces. They don't think of it as salesmanship in print, so they limit their pieces to, you know, a few words, a catchy logo, and maybe a phone number. I think that comes from possibly one of the mistakes in thinking is trying to get people interested in flooring who have zero interest. So the idea goes, well, if I just say a few words and I don't bore them with too much copy, well, maybe the people who aren't interested will read it. And the problem with that is people who have zero interest in flooring won't read 10 words, but people who are interested in flooring will read 10 pages. They're craving information. And your job as a marketer is not to try and get people who have zero interest in flooring to become interested. It's to find and zero in on those who have some level of interest and get them to choose you versus your competitors and pay you top dollar. People are craving information when they're interested. You've experienced this yourselves, I'm sure. Have clients come in where they've scoured the internet, they've read everything, and they've done what they consider to be research, but they'll read what you give them if there is interest. Now, I very briefly and quickly want to go through some of the secrets to writing copy that sells. This isn't a copywriting clinic. I'm going to be hitting these points very quickly. After the rapid launch, we are going to do a copywriting clinic and really dig in deep. But I just want to hit some of the high points for you so that as you go through the letters in the kit and the arsenal, you'll kind of see the method, the science behind it. First of all, forget what your English teacher taught you. Don't worry about if you break the rules of grammar and punctuation. I do it constantly. My spell checker, you know, practically melts down every time I do it with one of my sales letters. So don't worry about it. Write like you talk. Remember, your letters are salesmanship in print. Very conversational, very personal. Talk from the heart. If you really believe that you have the best service and you should believe that, then let your feelings out onto paper. Create an attention-grabbing headline. The headlines are the ad for the ad, and it's the single most important part of the letter. I have sat down when I'm ready to write a campaign, and I'll spend half an hour to an hour on headlines, and I'll write out 10, 20, 30, 40 headlines just as fast as I can to try and get outside of the box and come up with the best headline I can. I'll spend as much time on the headline sometimes as I do on the body of the letter. That's how important it is. And again, later on we'll get into writing headlines and headline formulas. Use attention-grabbing subheads. Subheads are the mini-ads for the upcoming paragraph. You'll see that through the letters. Dan Kennedy calls that the double readership path because there's two kinds of readers. There are people who are detail-oriented and they'll read every single word. And then there's skimmers, people who will skim through the letter. And the subheads give the skimmers something that kind of gives them an idea of what your marketing message is. So you're able to capture both kinds. Always have an offer and a deadline. If it doesn't have an offer and a deadline or a call to action, it's not direct response. So anything that you put out that's direct response needs to have an offer and a deadline. Get the readers to turn the page. And you're going to notice that on my letters, almost every page ends with an incomplete sentence or thought. And that's not done because I'm sloppy. It's done on purpose to get the reader to turn the page. Other ways you can get them to turn the page is to end with an incomplete sentence, end with a question, create curiosity, and so forth. And you'll see all those examples. always use a postscript, a PS. And the reason for that is some readers will simply skip right to the end. They want the bottom line. They're not going to read anything. So that's where the PS comes in. And in the PS, you restate the offer and several key benefits, the deadline, and the call to action. So that kind of a very quick summary of the most important points in the PS. You have a lot of examples in your arsenal. Don't worry about becoming a copywriting expert overnight or totally grasping these concepts just after hearing them or reading them once. Just study the examples, analyze the elements, look for the headline, the double readership path, the benefits, the call to action, the PS, and you'll see these themes repeated over and over again, the science behind it. And as you practice and as you read, you'll learn to do the same thing with your own pieces. All right, let's move on to the subject of the unique selling proposition, or USP. First, I'm going to tell you what a USP is not. It's not a universal selling proposition. You know, free estimates, a free consultation, those are universal selling propositions. A unique selling proposition is unique to your business, and it separates you from everybody else, and that's why it's so powerful. Two examples that I know you'll all recognize. When it absolutely, positively has to be there overnight, what business do you think of? Am I not, you guys, nobody recognizes that USP?
No, everybody's got you on mute.
Oh, okay, that's it.
Well, FedEx, I'm sure.
There we go, okay. Fresh hot pizza delivered in 30 minutes or less, we got Domino's. Both of these companies built an empire on the strength of those USPs. The USPs aren't general. They're extremely specific. They focus like a laser beam on a specific obvious benefit. The benefits offered by FedEx and Domino's, they're clear. They're unambiguous. Now I want to compare this to the drivel that you typically hear from businesses. Number one in customer satisfaction, most respected name in business, high quality workmanship, we knock ourselves out to please you, family owned and operated for 50 years, a most respected company in local real estate, always there for you, top producer, honesty, integrity, and commitment. I got all of these USPs straight out of the phone book and out of the newspaper. Now, if you're currently using a USP or a slogan like the one I just read, please don't get your feelings hurt. I've used these before I learned direct response marketing. Everyone has. This is a learning opportunity. And I could show you a full-color brochure that I printed out before I learned these where I did the exact same thing, and we all have to learn sometime. So just be grateful you're learning now rather than 10 years from now or never like most of your competitors. Now I want to get on to using guarantees as a unique selling proposition. The Domino's USP is in the form of a guarantee. Fresh hot pizza delivered in 30 minutes or less, or it's free, was what they used to offer. I'm going to give you a couple of examples from outside the floor covering industry. One was in carpet cleaning. I used to have a guarantee that said, you get the most thorough cleaning ever, or it's free. And the copy that went along with that was, we'll clean your carpets. If you're not happy, we'll re-clean them. And if you're still not happy, we'll refund your money. In the mortgage lending business, hang on a minute now. We switch gears. You get the best home loan service ever, or it's free. And the copy to that went, if at the end of the loan process you decide we have not acted in your best interest, we will waive all of our fees. If you walked into any banker, broker, or lender and asked them for a similar money-back guarantee, they will probably laugh at you and tell you no way. So how can we offer such a powerful guarantee? We couldn't unless we were absolutely confident in the quality of our service. We are, and you will be too. We guarantee it. Now, I can tell you from both of those examples, I wound up doing, our company, I think, gave away two carpet cleanings in 6 years. And in the mortgage lending, over a four-year period, I think we refunded a total of $2,000 in fees. people really don't want to take advantage of you. It's not the norm. And we more 10 times, 100 times made up for that in being able to tell people these outrageously powerful guarantees. And some benefits of these kinds of guarantees, and the ones we're going to talk about, is that they overcome skepticism. They totally differentiate you from your competitors. It completely sets you apart. And we're all looking for ways to set ourselves apart from our competitors. And it just does it. Your competitors are scared to death to offer any kind of guarantee but the most watered-down, fine-print-laden guarantee. And they don't like to even talk about it. And they don't mention it in their marketing. So it's going to set you apart. It enables you to command much higher prices. If you're not currently implementing guarantees like we're going to discuss, and you begin implementing them, the first thing you should do is raise your prices, because it automatically allows you to command higher prices. Now, an unwise use of the guarantee, I've seen so many people who offer a guarantee, but they don't promote it. They kind of try and hide it off to the side. And I think that's incredibly unwise, because now you have the liability of a guarantee, but absolutely none of the marketing benefits. So shout your guarantees from the mountaintops, be aggressive about it, and let everybody know. Now, very quickly, I'm going to go through the three main guarantees that we use in my system. And that's the installer professionalism guarantee, the lifetime installation warranty, and the no regrets guarantee. And we'll start with the easiest one first. It's the installer professionalism guarantee, and the copy reads, "Our installers are neat, clean, well-groomed, well-spoken, and professional. They're trained and certified. They're guests in your home, and they conduct themselves as such. They respect your home by using wall and corner guards, shoe covers, and drop cloths. You'll receive the highest quality installation in the business, and after they're finished, they'll leave your home as neat and clean as when they arrived." That's a pretty basic, good customer service type of guarantee. And in your kit is a client feedback form that has a section that asks how the installers did. So there's accountability built into it, and we'll get into those forms during the world-class installation system, but there is accountability built in. The next guarantee is the lifetime installation warranty. Now, this is another guarantee that just gives your clients great peace of mind and allows you to sell at prices higher than your competition. Lifetime installation warranty copy reads, "Buying flooring is not like buying any other piece of interior decor, such as a sofa or a lamp. Why? Because unlike other products, flooring is installed or manufactured in your home. This makes the installation critical. I offer a lifetime installation warranty at my store. You never have to worry about something going wrong with the installation. If it does, I'll fix it free, and I'll do it quickly. The last one is the no regrets guarantee. And this is the one that's absolutely going to blow your clients' minds. And some of you on the call has already blown your minds, I know, and we're going to talk about that. So the no regrets guarantee, you are protected by my no regrets guarantee. If you don't like it, I'll replace it free. Here's how the no regrets guarantee works. If at any time during the first 30 days after the installation you decide you don't like your new flooring for whatever reason, just let me know. I'll replace the materials free of charge. With an outrageously good guarantee like this, I can't include the cost of installation, so you'll have to cover that. And I'm not going to read the rest of the copy. You guys can read that. I want to give you very quickly 8 powerful reasons to use this guarantee, and then we're going to have Bruce come on and give us some insights on that. First, there are already many stores that offer guarantees like this, and they're doing fine. They're not going broke. They're not going belly up. You just don't hear about it because they don't promote it correctly. Second, if you think about the emotional state of your client who's invested in new flooring and they don't like it, well, now for the next 5 to 10 years or however long they have it, on average it's 7 years, every time someone mentions the flooring, they're going to go, "Yeah, but," and then there's going to be a negative comment about your store, even if they know it's not your fault. So imagine if you gave them instead the option to replace that floor. Well, now they're going to become your most rabid, raving cheerleader for your store. And now every time someone walks into the house, instead of hearing a negative, they're going to hear a positive about how awesome your company is. It's going to become a giant billboard for how great your company is. Third, people feel extremely guilty and hence extremely reluctant to take advantage of the guarantee. There's fourth, there's an extreme hassle have the flooring done a second time, so people really have to not like it in order to do it. Fifth, there is some expense involved because they do have to pay for the installation. Sixth, it will help you to command higher prices. Seventh, it'll eliminate some of the biggest fears, and it has a gigantic wow factor. Eighth, it'll scare the daylights out of your competitors and totally, utterly, and completely set you apart from them. Now, if you guys want to take your phones off mute, we're going to do a little question and answer. First, I'm going to have Bruce give us some of his thoughts. Before I do, is anyone nervous or scared or what have you about offering a guarantee like this?
Sure.
Okay. Steve, I know we talked, and Russ. I'm going to pick on you guys for just a minute since you were brave enough to speak up yesterday. Steve, what would you say would be the number one cause of concern for you?
Well, I have to tell you, I'm more concerned about the lifetime installation warranty.
Okay.
And it being kind of this endless money pit for me.
Okay.
Than I am the no regrets warranty.
Okay. And on the lifetime installation, it's just turning into a money pit for you.
That's my concern.
Okay. Okay. All right. Fair enough. Russ, is yours with the lifetime or is it with the no regrets guarantee?
You know, I already have a warranty on my installation, but it says 12-month warranty, but more times than once I've gone in after 3 years and then restretched a whole house full of carpet at no charge. You know, just because that's what the customer expected.
Sure.
And also the mills don't really help comply with their warranties. You know, if it's because we power stretch everything, and sometimes after a couple of years, the whole house is loose, and I know it's not because of my installers.
Sure.
Well, I go in and do it anyway. Probably wouldn't hurt to you know, pound my chest about that a little bit, like you say.
Something, Russ. You're already doing it.
Yes, I'm I have to market it, you know,
sure.
And I understand that part. The thing that I'm concerned about is the no regrets more than the warranty.
Okay. What would be your number one concern about that?
Well, you say you have to self-insure it. Is there any kind of insurance that you can buy for that kind of warranty? Because I've had more than one customer tell me, you know, just like I said yesterday, wow, that's darker than I thought, or that's lighter than I thought. And,
okay.
You know, you got yourself covered there by saying they have to pay for the labor again.
Sure.
I'm not sure if they'd be real pleased with that. They might not do it, but they still wouldn't be happy. It's more of a marketing thing, I guess, than it is the customer satisfaction thing, isn't it?
Okay. Actually, we're using customer satisfaction and having that in place to create the ability to market aggressively. We absolutely don't want to do, you know, where we're kind of a flim-flam, sort of offering one thing but making it sound like another.
Mm-hmm.
No, we want to be very, very straightforward. Clients are very sensitive to fine print and tons of exclusions and that sort of thing. Would you say, Russ, that your number one concern then would be just having to eat too many jobs?
That, plus, you know, you say you can also raise your prices on all this, which you almost have to do to cover yourself.
Okay.
But the way my business has been set up over the last, I don't know how many years, is kind of like a low overhead showroom.
Okay.
With low margins. I usually beat my competition on price. We give really good service. Is there a way to also, you know, like, for instance, I sell to a lot of, you know, I network with a lot of realtors, and they're just flipping houses, and they're just trying to show houses to sell. They want, you know, bare bones service.
Sure.
They don't need a lifetime installation guarantee, and they don't need a satisfaction guarantee. They just want something done fast and cheap, you know, in order to sell the house, and I do a lot of that.
Sure.
Is there a way to... You know, I had my eyes LASIK last year, and I noticed they had like four different price plans. One was the super premium, which cost like $5,000.
Mm-hmm.
That included a lifetime guarantee, all the way down to the $900 you know, super discount thing, which is basically the same service without all the warranties.
Sure.
Can you do something like that?
Yeah, let me. You've asked several really good questions, Russ, and let me just kind of go through them. First of all, in doing this for realtors, none of this applies to rentals, commercial, or in-home businesses. You absolutely do not offer these for those. Mm-hmm. For as far as your price points, this is a topic that Bruce and I have talked about in depth, and we're not going to cover it in today's module.
Mm-hmm.
But we are going to down the road, and that is offering different levels and doing exactly what you just said. It's totally a viable way to go about that. And, so let's do this then, Russ. I'm going to have Bruce come on now, and we're going to get into depth on some statistics and some other things. Bruce, you know, you offered this kind of a guarantee. When did you first start using it?
Well, when I first started becoming familiar with guarantees like this, similar to it, was in the mid-'80s and the late-'80s when Armstrong was really pushing their carpeting line. And some of you that have been in the business for a long time, you may remember an Anything Goes program that they had, and it was a program that Armstrong was using to set themselves apart from the typical guarantees and warranties concerning matting and crushing. And most of you know that when somebody has a matting problem or a crushing problem, the mill will send out a rep, and they'll take some samples of some fibers and see how much bulk that fiber has lost, and it's all based on that. But what Armstrong did is they just came out with a guarantee that says, hey, if it looks matted, if it looks crushed, we'll replace it. And we were in that particular program, and what we would do is we were asked to do is to give the free installation. And that was a concept that we were totally unfamiliar with, and we were a smaller business at that time. And it just blew our socks off. It scared us to death. And we were selling a lot of this product. We didn't know how often people would use this. But as we became familiar with this concept, we became very comfortable with it because we saw, in fact, what Jim just mentioned, that people didn't use it that often. And I think in our first year, we had one or two customers that used the guarantee, and what it did is these customers turned around into lifetime customers and became great advertisers for us. But later in the 90s, mid-90s, we were part of a major co-op, and the co-op came up with a concept much similar to the No Regrets. And again, this was another step that just scared us to death. And we were exposed to that in the early 90s, and then it took us a couple of years to kind of buy into it. But when we began to use that, we began to see again that there weren't that many people that would take advantage of it, but it built such a trust in the clientele base, across our entire base. And at that time, we were probably doing about 800,000 to 900,000 a year. We ended up to about 2.3 million a year. And excuse me, during that time, we averaged 4 to 6 customers a year that would take advantage of this. And so, anyway, this rings true with the stores I've consulted with. All the stores within that price range, it's always been 4 to 6 customers.
What price range is, Bruce, give us the price range again. I mean, not the price range, but the gross sale range you're talking about.
The stores that I have worked with and the range that I moved within in the years that I owned the business was about 750 to about 2 million. Okay, right in that range right there. And that's a big difference. And the stores that are running about 750 will do about 3 or 4 jobs a year. And the stores that are doing a greater volume do about 6. and I've worked with 7 different stores, and not one of them have done over 6 jobs per year. And so they see it as a huge benefit because of the what they're able to do is in their marketing, they're gaining their market base just totally expanded, and they built this trust factor into what they were selling, and they more than made up for any loss that they may have had in taking care of a problem.
And from what you're saying, you guys obviously didn't lose your shirt. None of the people that you worked with lost their shirt trying to do this guarantee.
Absolutely not. And the business that I ran for several years is still within our family, and it's one of the key selling points that they use today. And they train the sales representatives, and it's something that they push. It's something that they use because it builds trust. And studies have shown over and over that our customers, they want to trust and they want to believe in us. And but when they're shopping our competitors, and they don't see anything that separates anybody from anybody else. But when they come into your store, they come into my store, stores that I've worked with, they say this store is different, and they've raised the bar. And they're offering something different than anybody else is offering. They set themselves apart. And it's people's human nature to want to believe in you, to want to trust. And so it's a great selling point. And it really is a great relational point as well, because you begin a trust relationship that will go through a lifetime.
Did doing the guarantee enable you to charge higher prices?
Absolutely, and many different stores do this in a different way. Some will just will give this guarantee with carpets only, and some will take maybe 10 of their best selling carpets, and they'll give a no regrets type guarantee with those 10 products alone. Excuse me. Some may take 3 products and do the same thing. And so different people have a different comfort level with different things that they're offering, but everybody has found the same success in what they're doing.
By the way, just as an aside, Bruce is on the line with us today, and he sacrificed and came on while he was sick. He hasn't been feeling well, so that's why he has to keep clearing his throat. Appreciate you being here, Bruce.
Yeah,
holding up okay?
Buddy, I'm hanging in there with you.
Okay.
So, Bruce, you don't do this with pre-finished hardwood?
We've never had anybody that has done that, any store that I've worked with pre-finished hardwood. Now, there are co-ops and buying groups that are beginning to do that, okay? But I have not had experience with that. And the people that I have worked with basically focus in on the carpets, okay? We have some that do the vinyl flooring and different things like that. We've had one that is considering doing the laminates and the hardwood because they've had so much success with the rest. Now, the problem with like a vinyl floor, a hardwood floor is when you replace a floor, you can't recoup the cost of that floor by reselling that floor.
Right.
And with carpeting, you can do that. And you can recoup most of your cost on every one of the jobs by doing just that. And so the different stores that I have worked with have found a different comfort level with different levels of a no-regrets type guarantee.
Mm-hmm. I think Bruce is making a couple of good points. First of all, let's talk about recouping your costs. I mean, the materials that you get back can be sold at a discount. In fact, Bruce has talked about having relationships with property management and apartment complexes. You let them know what you're doing. And then when a batch becomes available, you give it to them at a discount. And they're you send them all a fax or an email saying, hey, we got a batch in, and turn around and sell it pretty quickly. Another way is to build profit margin into your installations, and you should be doing that. And that allows you to recoup some of your costs as well, because if they're paying for the installation, then you're still making a little bit of money. The other thing that Bruce, I think, said that's very key is you don't have to jump in 100% with this kind of a guarantee, you can experiment with it. I've kind of broken it into two levels here. Bruce and I talked about this. The number one top level is you just pay for the entire replacement minus the labor on all products. That's like everything. Well, another way you could go is to pay the entire replacement minus labor, minus shipping and a $250 handling charge. Or you can do carpets only. And if you want to mitigate it even further, is take your top 10 products and feature it on that. And regarding, you know, like having samples, you know, if you don't have the budget to keep samples for your entire inventory or everything you offer, keep the larger samples just on the things you're offering the no regrets guarantee on. Any thoughts on that, Bruce?
That's exactly what that we've done in the past, and what I recommend is everybody knows what your top three selling products are. Everybody knows what their top 10 products are. And so we all try to key on those products. And we may have 90% of our products available on the floor we sell very little of. But we do that for that small, portion of customers that might want something other than what normal people buy, but we know what our top products are. And so if we sample the products in larger samples, which really help in the area of dye lot problems and challenges like that, and it also will to help us highlight, the products that we're going to sell when the customer comes in and they see that we're highlighting certain products, then it builds their trust in those products as well. But I would focus on those type of things and offer your guarantees on those type of things. Also, you may offer no regrets. Part of that program would be to offer no regrets guarantee only if you use your premium pad. And this goes along with lifetime guarantee on your installation as well. It may be based on a premium pad or a cushion that you use, and that will help with the lifetime of the carpet as well.
So you're building in more of a profit margin so that when the averaging it over all the clients, then when you get that occasional replacement, you've banked enough to where it just totally covers the cost and then some.
Absolutely.
You know, a couple things I'll mention real quick too is getting referrals. You know, this is a repeat and referral and testimonial driven system that we put together here. People feel, from what you've told me, Bruce, and your experience, and other dealers that I've talked with, the guilt factor is pretty high when they take advantage of the no regrets warranty, and when they finally do call and they're just almost apologetic about having to do it, it turns them instantly into raving fans. So at that point in time, you immediately hand them the referral request form and you ask for a bunch of referrals right then. So being able to turn that job into another job right there, and then get their photo and testimonials saying how you honor the warranty is going to create powerful marketing strategies for you. Let's shift gears and talk about the lifetime installation warranty for just a minute, Bruce. Some of the things we said along with the no regrets is the warranty is non-transferable. It's only valid while the original owner lives there. Residential owner occupied only, no commercial, no in-home business or rentals. So you really are limiting it to people who are just owner occupied living in their home. Now, according to the National Association of Realtors, the average length of time someone stays in a home is 7 years. So, you know, when we say lifetime, it really isn't until they pass away. It's about 7 years on average. Now, Bruce, you and I talked about using these visits when you do have to go back, and like what Russ did, you know, even 3 years later, using that as a chance to reconnect with the client and do upsells and ask for referrals. You also, you know, we've talked about how the vast majority of them were for restretches, just getting that, you know, got some ripples in the carpet and they want it fixed. Give us your thoughts on that.
Well, we that was the biggest benefit that we found to offering a lifetime warranty on the installation was it was an opportunity to reconnect with our customer. And all of you know that, you know, a lifetime customer relationship is built on trust. And it's also built on staying connected. It's like a friendship that any of us have with another person. In order for the friendship to remain strong, we have to spend time with that friend. And so we never really approach that as a negative, but a positive opportunity to reconnect and to get into the customer's home once again. And statistics also show that when you satisfy a customer, when they have a problem and you go in and you satisfy them, that they become a bigger advertiser than if they never had a problem, if they were satisfied in the first place.
I hope you guys are all catching that. That's powerful.
Yeah, and this is a statistic that's been it's been a proven thing. Many surveys have been done, and the last numbers I heard that if you go in and you satisfy a customer on your first attempt, you know, a job goes perfect, they're happy, the installation is great. On the average, they will sell 10 customers for you, and you know, they'll spend time with people, serious time with people, really advertising your business. But if something negative happens, they'll tell 20 people. And but if you hit that negative head on and you satisfy them, they will communicate how good you are to 30 different customers. And so it's almost an opportunity. It is an opportunity to turn a negative into a great big positive. When you satisfy that customer, when there's a challenge or a problem. And then they really become, you know, they really become your mouthpiece into the community, and they're really communicating who you are and what you do to a lot of people. And so what we would do is we would see it as a positive. What we tried to do and what I've recommended other stores to do and what they've done is they connect with a semi-retired installer that wants to make a few dollars on the side, and they'll go ahead and hire that installer instead of pulling their main installation crews off the jobs, and they'll send them out, but they also give them a training to turn that around into a positive. They'll send materials out with them, brochures, maybe a sales letter, maybe a promotion that you're doing on window coverings or floor coverings. They'll send out promotional materials, and they'll use it for an opportunity not to only reconnect and to build trust, but to sell your store a little bit more, tell a little bit more about your store and who you are and what you do. And so we never saw it as a negative at all, but a huge positive of being able to reconnect and get back into that home and be able to get reestablished and turn a negative into a positive.
You know, almost it gave you the excuse to get in the customer's face again.
Absolutely.
A legitimate reason to see them. Imagine going in and not, you know, the sales materials and a special offer or whatever you've got going on, I think is great. But the two things to keep in mind, ask for referrals. Have that referral sheet with you because they're going to feel so indebted to you. They feel so bad about it. And here you are, you're doing them this big favor. They perceive it as they're going to give you referrals. So imagine you got to go in and restretch a living room and you walk out of there with 4, 5, 6 referrals and it turns into 1 or 2 more jobs potentially. And then at the same time, of course, get testimonials, get their photo. I mean, they're going to be bending over backwards to try and absolve themselves of this guilty feeling of having to have you come back out. I've experienced it. It's powerful, and they'll do a lot for you, and they'll spread the word about you.
Jim, you can do that by you know, having like a customer satisfaction survey form that you put together that you put in the hands of your installer, and you can hand that to the customer and ask them to fill it out while you're on the job and include referrals right on that response.
And I'll just interject this, Bruce, in the kit on your CD-ROM, you've got all those forms.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody's got them. Hey, we're right at 10 o'clock. What I want to do is we have, Bruce and I have about 10 or 15 more minutes where we can answer questions. I know this is supposed to be an hour, but I think this is a really important topic. If anybody has to go, feel free. But what Bruce and I want to do now is just hang on the line for another 10 or 15 minutes just so we can answer questions and do that. Are you okay with that, Bruce?
Yeah.
Okay. So we're just going to hang on the line a few more minutes. We're going to just open it up totally to question and answers now, and if you can stay with us, great. If you got to go, totally understand. But we just really want to spend that time with you. So, any questions at this point?
I have one.
Sure.
On the installation guarantee, your installers have to be well spoken. Do you mean they need to be able to speak good English?
Well. I personally think it's important that the native language is spoken by.
Well, yeah, I mean good English. I mean, my installers don't speak real good English.
Okay.
They're very polite and they're very quiet and they go about their business and they're clean, but they don't speak a whole lot of good English.
Okay.
And they've been with me a long time, you know, and they've got families and kids and everything, and I'm kind of loyal to them.
Okay. I can appreciate that. My thought would be that they need to be able to communicate with the client because they are in their home and give the client a good secure feeling, you know, that their needs are being met. And I think that if you're doing that, that's the important thing, and that you're able to train them. You know, if you look in the CD-ROM and further in the manual, the customer satisfaction, you know, feedback form. You know, they need to be able to do all of that stuff for you. So any thoughts on that, Bruce?
As long as they are respectful and kind and professional and they're connecting people with people on a personal level, that's 90% of it right there. You know, that the company is willing to go out and to solve their problem, and we're doing it willingly, and we want to be there, and we're giving our best to them.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what's most important. And, you know, just to propagate that trusting relationship, you know, to move that relationship forward.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes it's not the most articulate person that makes the biggest difference. It's how, you know, how relational they are and, you know, how they act and how they carry themselves and if they're friendly, you know.
Mm-hmm. The other day, Mark.
Okay. Anybody else?
I have a couple of questions.
Sure.
One is as it pertains to customers from years past. So if tomorrow I embark upon a new strategy of my ironclad guarantees, I've only owned this business for a little over a year now. Seems like I do a fair amount of warranty work for the previous owner. And very little for since my ownership, coincidence or not. But I was just wondering what your thoughts were on customers of, you know, 6 years ago, since you really didn't sell things at a price that was commensurate with the warranty liability that you carried.
I think that's a really good question. I'll give you my thoughts. Bruce may have a little bit different take on it, but I look at it in two ways. First of all, they didn't pay for that warranty because they bought the price that you didn't offer it. It wasn't covered. Everything moving forward that you apply it to that carpet, you know, is part of your contract. So no, you're not going to, I don't want you to feel like you have to be obligated to a money pit, like you mentioned earlier, people calling you from 6 years ago. On the flip side though, you do have a business that's been around for a long time. If you can find it within yourself and make it so that you're not, you know, going broke doing it, going into their homes, reestablishing, use it as an opportunity. Hey, I get to go reconnect with this person. And while you're there, oh my gosh, Steve, they know you're not the original owner. And here you are honoring that warranty for them, or that they didn't even come with the carpet or whatever you sold them. Oh my gosh, the cheerleader factor is huge. While you're in the home there, you introduce yourself, you talk about your referral rewards program, you get a testimonial from them, that goes in your newsletter. I mean, so you see somebody that's trying to take advantage or that is turning into a money pit. No, I don't, you know, don't take that on. But again, as much as possible, I would see it as an opportunity. What do you think, Bruce?
Well, look at it this way. You know, a lot of stores will do like a promotion, like a President's Day promotion, and they may invest $10,000, $12,000, $20,000 into advertising, and they will do the best that they can to track what customers were produced by that advertising campaign. And then what they'll always do is to run the numbers on that to find out what they're spending on each one of those customers to get them to walk through the front door. And on many promotions, this can be $50, $70, up to $100. Sometimes they have a real effective promotion where it may be $12 to $15.
Let's be clear on this. That's to get someone to walk through the door.
Sure.
I buy
through
something.
Yeah. Okay, it's not to sell. And you may be able to get out into a home to honor a warranty and do a restretch in a living room that'll take you 30 minutes, and you may be able to pay your installer $45 or whatever it is, you know, whatever your fee is to do that repair. And for that, you've not only, reconnected with a customer, it's a previous customer, you've satisfied them, they've become your cheerleader, but you can guarantee that they'll become a repeat customer. If not then, you know, on another floor or window covering or whatever in the near future. And so it's just how you approach it and how you look at that.
And don't forget that, I keep emphasizing this, ask for referrals while you're there. That's a referral-generating opportunity.
Absolutely.
And what if, I mean, if you paid $45 to get another job that, you know, pays $3,000 to $5,000. I mean, would that be worth it?
Sure.
Yeah.
I don't want to come across as splitting hairs, but I also don't want to spend more money than needed. I wonder if you could just kind of tell us your thoughts on things like furniture moving on a restretch, maybe things that could, I guess most likely be a customer of abuse or wear kind of an issue. And honoring it through the lifetime warranty.
Yeah, Bruce, why don't you, I'll let you.
Well, were you saying, to offset costs that you that might be an idea? Is that what you're saying, that, if there's furniture to be moved, that there will be a charge for that? Is that what you're saying?
My experience has been that I can get carpet restretched pretty inexpensively, but if it's a house full of furniture, then it turns into an all-day affair and, $300 to $500.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I can see that. I have two past clients that I've worked with that do just that. And the furniture has to be moved before you come out on the job or there'll be a charge for the furniture moving. And what that does, too, is if the problem is not that severe or you have a customer that doesn't really have a problem that, wants extra service, you all know customers like that, it will, kind of alleviate that problem as well. And so I have worked with stores that do both. Both are happy with what they do. And so it's probably whatever you're comfortable with.
Mm-hmm.
I don't see that as a negative either. I don't think that would be a negative if there were a charge for that. If there's too much small print, then it's going to become it will make your customer a little suspicious of the warranty. But if it is just upfront, very simple, simply stated, you go over it when you're selling the material upfront. There shouldn't be any problem with that at all.
Yeah, right up front, like on the no regrets guarantee, it says it says it in parentheses, but it's in the same point type font. We don't cover the installation on an outrageously good guarantee like this. Hey, it's up front. You're being honest with them. Say, look, when we come out to honor our lifetime installation, that doesn't mean lifetime of furniture moving. you got to move that. That's very, very reasonable. If they want you to move it, they can pay for that. I think that's fine.
Good. But have you, how about tear out on the no regrets warranty? If somebody exercises that, do you pick up the tear out, or do you include that in the install labor cost that they're going to pay?
I could probably speak to that. Stores that I've worked with, they all do it differently. And and again, if you you know, if there are things like that that you want to include, it's how you communicate that and where you communicate it and when you communicate it, because no regrets is different than anybody else. Okay, in your town, there may be a large a store that's part of a large buying group that does something similar, or a co-op. But usually you're going to be the only one in your area that will offer something like that. And so it's going to be different. It's going to set you apart. And if you wanted to, you know, clearly state, it doesn't include a, you know, a fee for removal, you know, a fee for furniture moving and, you know, so on, you know, shipping, handling, just state that and make it, state it simple and upfront, and educate, you know, your customer during the selling process of what that guarantee is. And because in any form, it's a guarantee that nobody else is going to offer, and it will set you apart.
Yeah, there would be nothing wrong with taking a, you know, having it on a laminated, you know, card or something where here's the points, you know, whatever you decide it's going to be, Steve, okay, we don't cover the labor. There's a $250 handling, you know, whatever points you want in there that to start it off with, have it not in the little 8-point type, but just a big thing. Here's what it is. We're upfront mm-hmm. about it. People are pretty cool about that.
Yeah, don't be apologetic. You can be proud of it because
yeah.
nobody else is offering what you're offering. And even if there are a few stipulations to your offer, you know, be your own cheerleader, you know, and brag about those things and use it as part of your sales. And but you can add those type of things, and rightfully so, you know, that will fit your own comfort level and will work for your particular business.
Keep in mind, nothing's set in stone, okay? You're gonna enter the no regrets guarantee and the lifetime installation warranty at the level that you feel comfortable with, and from there, you can change it. You know, down you go, hey, this is working well. I'll take this stipulation off. You know, it's, my fears aren't manifesting themselves in this, so maybe I'll try this. This can be an evolving thing, Steve. Don't feel like you got to decide from here through time, through all eternity, it has to be this way, really. This is a growing and evolving thing.
I appreciate that. What I don't want to do is water down a powerful marketing idea.
And sure.
So it sounds to me like your experience has been that a couple of stipulations really don't water it down to the extent in which it's not of any value anymore.
Not at all.
No. Okay. Good.
No. Well, I think we've got time for about one more question. Anybody else want to ask something?
Yeah, just one quick question. So basically this no regrets guarantee is the cornerstone of this whole marketing system?
I don't know that I would describe it as the cornerstone. You could completely remove it if you want to. There are many other benefits, and as you work through the system, you're going to see that there's many, you know, like the installer professionalism guarantee is just one. I mean, that's just like a good customer service
right.
guarantee. There, when you go through the entire rapid launch manual, and then even after the rapid launch, there's other things that are definitely benefits. So, you know, for the person that absolutely says, I am not going to do this, well, there's plenty of other benefits. So I don't want to, you know, say that if you don't do that, the system's not going to work for you. No.
Hey, Jim, could I say something?
Sure.
Anything that you can do to set yourself apart from the competitors is what you want to do. It's where you want to go, and this is one example of that. And but what I remember so distinctly of being a dealer and being right where you are right now is you get so engrossed in the industry you can't see beyond what the industry does now. And I remember just, I would say, what else could I do? You know, I would just wring my hands sometimes and say, there's got to be another way. There's got to be something I can do to separate myself from the rest of the pack. And what I would really encourage you guys is to think about these things and to really process them, but let them be like a catalyst to other ideas that you can come up with that will set yourself apart from the competition. And one of the main positives that I see in this group is it can be a kind of catalytic to one another, you know, as you begin to come up with these different ideas that separate you from the pack. It's synergistic as you put your energies together. And no regrets and lifetime installation warranties, they are great, and they will do just that. And no one that I've worked with has ever regretted it. They usually take it to the next level. They find ways to do that. But it will also be a help you come up with other ideas for other parts of your business, you know, your customer service and even your inter-office policies and different things like that that will change your business. And so I just personally want to really encourage you to look at these concepts and to process these concepts and how they affect your customer base, how they build trust, and how they set you apart.
I think that's really good, and I totally agree, Bruce. You said some powerful things there, and the if you read through, I mean, we're on module one, folks. Look through all the other modules, and you'll see the many other things we do, teaching you to do to set yourself apart. All right. Okay, folks, we're out of time now. We're going to go ahead and end the call. Before we do, we have a floater day scheduled for this coming Tuesday between 9 and 10 Pacific time. I'm thinking if there's enough interest, I would be willing to get on the line and just sort of do a question and answer session, sort of anything kind of goes. Is there anybody that I'm talking to now who would want to participate in something like that?
I would.
Okay. Anyone else?
Yeah, I would. Todd from By Design.
Okay.
Oh, Tuesday the 9th?
Yep, next week. Tuesday between 9 and 10 Pacific. I have it already blocked out as a floater. Well, that's enough for me then. I'm going to go ahead and do it. Everyone, we have it on your itinerary as a floater day. Go ahead and mark it. We're gonna just do sort of an open forum Q&A session.
Okay,
folks, we're out of time. We will talk to you next Tuesday for the float session, and then of course Wednesday is going to be module two. Thanks, folks.